Be seated. So I know because some of you have asked me, well, what about this sin? And what about your friend who would always just kind of say, well, I'm just a sinner. I'm a sinner. Tried to put this together in kind of a visual way for us. And I think what you would see here would kind of be that visual of a sinner who in body, mind, and spirit is black. This is that person that was being talked about in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. This would be that. That would be a person who has not made that commitment to Jesus, has not asked him to be the forgiver of their sins or the leader of their lives. This, on the other hand, would be a saint. This is someone in whom Jesus has made that new creation. This is someone whom God has seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms and who is raised up and who has given them life. This is someone who is pure and holy and blameless and without fault and free from accusation and not condemned, because at the core of their being, they have been changed. This is the new creation. But you will notice that that new creation may not have done much to change their mind yet or even their behaviors yet. And the person that I'm thinking of when I drew this was that thief on the cross next to Jesus when Jesus died. People in the Roman world were not crucified because they were thieves. They were crucified because they had committed some capital offense. There was either treason against the Roman government or they murdered someone. So they might have been thieves, but it was an armed robbery and they probably killed somebody. And that's why they're being murdered or crucified on the cross. And so during that crucifixion, Jesus is there. Picture this, his body mutilated. His body, we're told it was not recognizable. So those who knew him couldn't even recognize him. He is beaten, he is swollen, he is bleeding from the whipping, he is bleeding from nails, he's bleeding from a crown on his head. He is a mess. Who on earth would believe that he was somehow savior of the world and the means to heaven? But a thief, a murderer on the cross next to him, somewhere along the line, gets the idea, the thought, and believes it. You're the one, you're the king in a kingdom to come. And he looks at him and says, remember me when you get to your kingdom. Now, how many of you know that when you're looking at a body that bruised and broken, to come to the conclusion that that's the king in the coming kingdom of God? How many of you know there's a Holy Spirit thing going on there? Yes, because nobody would look at Jesus and conclude that. But he did. And what were Jesus' words to him? I'm paraphrasing. You, me, today, paradise. That's how that's going to roll. I think that's him. There was enough faith for him to believe. He looks at Jesus on the cross and says, you're him, remember me when you get there. And Jesus said, oh, you'll be with me when we get there. Had he had time to change his mind about anything? No. Had he had time to change his behaviors? Nope. But he's there. And we know that. That's the picture I have of a person who would be a saint. What we walk through in this life is a process that the Scripture calls sanctification. Now, the Scripture has two meanings to sanctification. One is the work that God did in you to make you holy. That's the word sanctified. And that is done and completed. And that's referring to when the Holy Spirit came into your life at salvation, and that Spirit, right, right there, became that pure, holy, blameless. I mean, that's the work of God, and you are a new creation. You've come alive to God. As you live, what happens is in your mind, you begin to believe what God has made true in your being. In other words, you begin to believe that God has made you who He says He's made you, that you are pure and blameless and holy and all of the rest. You begin to actually believe that. And as you believe it, what begins to happen is you begin to act like it. In other words, your behavior begins to change because the Holy Spirit lives within you, begins to convict you about things that are holy and righteous and good. And because of the grace and the mercy and all of that that God has showered upon you, you begin to live in your behavior in a way that's consistent with your being because you believe what God has done to you. That's the process of sanctification. It's very easy to gum that process up with legalism. And I know this is going to be a little... it's hard to describe, but you'll notice with sanctification that it is a process that works from the inside out. And the way I've pictured legalism is a process working from the outside in. You're trying to take all the laws of God and you're trying to apply them to your life so that God will be happy with you, so that you'll impress others with your Christianity, so that others will look at you and think, oh, there goes a good Christian. You know, whatever your rationale is, you're trying to take the laws of God and apply them to your life. But the Scripture says in Romans chapter 8 that in Christ Jesus, all the requirements of the law have been fully met in you. You're already righteous. And so even though you're still struggling with some things, trying to be legalistic about what you do is never going to help you. It's a burden. And the key to it is to understand, am I trying to impress God? Am I trying to impress others? Am I trying to make them think that I'm a better Christian than I really am? Whenever any of those things show up in your life, that's legalism. That's what it is. If I live this perfect life, others will see me and want to be just like me. They'll want Jesus because I'm so good. That's legalism. Okay? And it's self-righteousness. It doesn't help anyone. And you'll notice that even people who are not Christians can be legalistic. And if you've ever been around them, they're oppressive to be around because they never do anything wrong and they let you know it. And they're like these perfect people, and who wants to be like them? Well, it's the same with Christians. I know Christians. I don't want to be like them at all. That's because self-righteousness never goes over well. Not with God or anybody. Legalism. So, I'm going to skip through that. Sanctification from the inside out. And one of the things that I don't mean to do and don't mean to point out here is that it's always like your body never has anything to do with sin, right? That it always works. Like temptation can come through your mind, temptation can come through your body. You can fall, but sanctification works from the inside out. That's why in Galatians 5 it tells us this. If you walk by the Spirit, in other words, if you live your life by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. Yes. So if you're living by the Spirit, you're going to be okay. So this, by the way, would be glorification, where what God has done in your being is now purely, absolutely, and completely completed and done in your mind and in your body. And what you do, what you think, is totally consistent with your being and the new you that God has made or created in Christ. That is heaven. One day we'll be there. So, there are people like this who are most certainly saved, But in terms of their words, their language, even their behaviors, they're a little rough around the edges. I don't know if you've ever met one. I have a guy right now I'm thinking of, and he's just a blast to be around because he knows he's saved. And some of the things we're still working on, right? You know? But he is just so open about who he is and what he's like. Anyway, this is eternal life. On the other hand, this is somebody who is in great difficulty. And you'll hear it lots of times. They're actually more sanctified in their behavior and their beliefs and their actions than this person over here. They actually are nicer, and they're not a Christian. They're not a believer. And they'll say, well, if that's what it... Whoops, wrong one, sorry. If that's what it means to be a Christian, I'm a better person than they are. And they may act better, but they are in eternal and mortal danger because there is no newness. The Holy Spirit has not worked in them. That part of them that can respond to God is dead. And many times these people think, I'm going to get to God because I've been a good person. And that's not true. And I'm going to get to God because I'm better than that person. And they act better. But that person on the left is saved. And that person is not, even though they may act more saved. And I think that can happen. So for you and I, we know this. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. The point of what we did today and in this series for the several weeks that we did it is this, that who you are as a person, if you have come to Jesus Christ, who you are as a person is now defined by Christ, who is with you and united with you. Who you are is not defined by your human plight or your sin. Jesus Christ lives in you. That part that responds to God is holy and blameless and pure, without sin, free from fault and accusation. And that's why I told my friend a few years ago, you got to stop saying that. You got to stop saying that I'm just a sinner, because you're not. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. You've been raised with him and given life. You're pure and holy and all of that stuff. You're all that. And Christ is the one who now determines who you are. And he is not a sinner. And therefore, neither are you. Because at the core of your being, you and I, because of the grace of God and the love of God, are new creations. That does not mean, however, that we don't still sin. Just hang around me long enough. For those of you who think I'm pretty close to God, right, and, you know, pretty perfect, and yeah, go talk to my wife. Right? Because I've given her permission. Honey, you tell them anything that doesn't embarrass you. Right? You tell them anything that doesn't embarrass you, you're good with it. And you talk to her for 5 minutes and you'll think, why did we bring that guy in to be our pastor? What were we thinking? Because we do sin. And I know some people who have pushed back on this sinner thing and said, because I do sin, sometimes frequently, I call myself a sinner. Okay, I can get that, but the danger is this, that you cheapen the work of God and that you fail to see your identity in him because you are so new at the core of your being. and so clean and so holy and pure and perfect, and you are so united with Christ, and like I said, he's not a sinner. So yes, as one holy and perfect, we see our sin and we confess it, and we, and in fact, what I have found, friends, is that the more I believe who I am in Christ, the easier it is for me to confess my sins, faults, weaknesses, and everything else to you and to anyone. Because it's not really me. I mean, it is. I'm responsible. I get that. But I'm new, and I'm so deeply loved. And it doesn't really matter what you think about me. You know what I found, though? The more willing I am to confess honestly who I am before you, I know some of you have told me, you know, well, you know, we see this in you, or my wife says, well, how about this or that? I just basically tell you, you haven't seen the half of it, but you're right, and I'm sorry. But what I found is the more that I can be honest with who I am and the weaknesses and faults that I display, even as a person who's holy and perfect, the tighter the fellowship, the more open people are to me, the more welcoming they are of me, because they know I'm not putting on some sort of false front. I'm just Brian, saved by the grace of God, no longer a sinner. And this is how I describe it, and I think you ought to consider this for your life. But a saint, a holy one, a sanctified one, a saint who does sin, right? That's who I am, and that's who you are if you're in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to believe that we are who you say we are because we are in Christ Jesus. Help us to believe. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to be doing our offering. As those guys come forward to collect that offering, two things I would like to make sure you know. One, there is a little pamphlet, a little card, a little folder in your bulletin. It is a faith promise pledge for the missions conference we had the previous 3 weeks. Those of you who have prayed about that and are ready to make a commitment to the Great Commitment Fund, would you just put the number on there? You do not need your name. Tear that off and put that in the offering this morning. That would help the Alliance District and National Office to begin to budget and prepare what they have for our ministries. Second thing is you're going to see a place out here where you can get a photo taken of you. This is for my use only, and this is for those of you who are regular attenders here. If this is your first time or you're visiting, you know, because of Thanksgiving, you don't have to do this. But if you're a regular attender here, I am asking you to go back and get your picture taken. Some of you did this 2 or 3 weeks ago. You're good already. But if you didn't, would you please get your picture taken? Because what they're going to do is they're going to put your name under that. This is a digital file, and it's only for me, my eyes only. Right, so I don't care that your makeup is right and your hair is a little askance or whatever. I don't care. Right, I'm using it for two reasons. I'm going through that at least weekly, and I'm praying for each one of you by name. And number two, it helps me learn your names. And that's important. It's important to you, and it's important to me for you. All right, so if you didn't get your picture done yet, would you please, on your way out, just take a moment. If you have to wait in line, do that, and you know, get that picture taken for me and for you. Because if you don't do it, you don't have a prayer. Okay? That's just the way it rolls. All right. So, Father, we dedicate this offering to you. Bless it to your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, come forward. Receive that offering, please.